was no Jewish jolly green giant. He was no gullible Goliath. Nor was he a retarded Hercules. Nor was he just simply the old version of an honest Abe Gibron or an overweight Don Juan. These are the usual concepts that people apply to Samson. Samson was no joke. Samson was no novelty. Samson was no fly-by-night. The truth is, for 20 years, Samson ruled as a judge over Israel. 20 years. That's longer than Mr. Daley has been mayor of Chicago. That's longer than President Roosevelt was president of our nation. That's longer than any man has ever ruled as president of the United States of America. He was a good judge, a great man of God. He was one of the great spiritual giants of the Bible. The Bible says that not one time did wine or strong drink ever enter into the mouth of Samson. He belonged to the most consecrated group of his day, the Nazarites, who had given everything to God. Samson gave the whole thing every Sunday. Samson gave the whole thing all the time. Of Samson it was said, more than it was said of any other man in the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It is said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, but not as much as Samson. It is said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, but not as much as Samson. Samson was a brilliant man. When Samson decided he wanted to cause a depression in the Philistine people, he wanted to figure out some way to destroy their harvest fields and their grain fields. He got 300 foxes and tied the tails of these foxes together and set the foxes on fire. Can you imagine the excitement of 300 burning foxes all tied together? And they ran out through the grain fields and set the grain fields on fire, and depression was called, came to the Philistines. A brilliant man. He was a strong man, physically as well as spiritually. It is said that he took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men in battle. But Samson, sad to say, and I tearfully say it, Samson fell into sin. When Samson fell into sin, he lost his hair and he lost his power. May I quickly say, they do not go synonymously. Thank God. The fact that you lose your hair does not mean you've lost your power. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord and all that. They're not synonymous. I would like to remind you that Elisha was bald-headed. You recall the story of Elisha when he was bald-headed? Elijah had gone up into heaven in a whirlwind, by the chariot into heaven. Elisha received the double portion of Elisha's power, and the people got to where they were mad at Elisha, and they told the little boys and girls to make fun of him. The little boys and girls went up and said, "Go up, old bald head, go up, old bald head." What they were saying is, "We'd like to get rid of you too, going up like Elijah did." And God sent she-bears out of the woods and devoured those little children. God still has some she-bears. Be careful what you say about those of us who are losing our hair. Samson lost his hair and lost his power. They decided to make sport out of Samson, have fun out of him. Here's the giant of Israel. Here is the man who killed more Philistines than any other man who ever lived. This was the Goliath and Elijah wrapped up in one package. This was Goliath and David in one stick of dynamite. So the Philistines, when Samson lost his power, what they did is this. First, they gouged out his eyes, blinded him. Then they put him, they bound him with fetters of brass. They bound him. And then they put him at the wheel of the mill, going round and round and round, pushing the mill at the grinding wheat. Samson was blinded Samson was bound, and then Samson was made to grind at the mill. Sin does those three things, I'll say in passing. Sin always blinds, sin always grinds, and sin always binds. Sin blinds, sin grinds, and sin binds. What they did was this. They had a great feast to their god Dagon, a little chief sitting bull god, sort of like a little Buddha image. They had a feast in the great temple of Dagon. The great temple was filled with people. Over 3,000 people were sitting on, or were on the rooftop, overflow if you please. How many thousands of folks were there? I don't know. I would imagine 10 to 20,000 people had come to this great feast for their god of Dagon. And they called Samson and said, "Samson, we want to make sport of you." Now what they did, I'm not sure, but they made fun of Samson. And here's the old soldier of God. Here's the old judge of Israel. Here's the old man of God about whom it is said, more than any other man in the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And here he is. His eyes are out. He's grinding at the mill, pushing the wheel around and around and around and around and around and around, bound by fetters of brass. Can you see it? Something very sad about this. Something sad to me. I have, honestly, I have wept and wept and wept about President Nixon. I dreamed about him last night. I dreamed that I went to a department store and he was taking a walk through the department store. There was someone with him, a nurse beside him, and I walked up to him and put my head on his shoulder and wept and said, I'm brokenhearted about it. And I have. I can't get over it. And I think about him. I think about him at night when I go to bed. I think about him while I fly across the country. I think about something very tragic. I think one of the most brilliant men of our generation. I think he could have been one of the great presidents of our generation. And something came, some little flaw of character maybe, and something came. And there he is this morning, right now, while we're here, out there in California. Does not have his jet plane to fly, does not have the power he once had. There was a man who was once the most powerful man on the face of the earth. Now doesn't have any power at all. I drove the other day past the area, the office building, where Mr. Agnew has his office and his business now. And I wept as I thought what that man could have been and what he could have done. I sat right here in this room and met Mr. Agnew and prayed the prayer for the time when he spoke at the other end of this very room. By the way, the building wasn't the third as big as filled as it is this morning. More folks come to hear Ag Hiles than Ag New. But anyway, I thought that maybe he would be a Moses to lead us out of the wilderness. I thought that maybe here's a man who has the strength and the courage to stand and speak what he believes. And most everything he said back in those days, he spoke for me. I agreed with him. I was pulling for him. In fact, I one time thought about having him here as our guest. And I felt like that he might be at that time the hope for our nation. But there he is running a business now, being disbarred from the law. A Samson, if you please. And where once Mr. Nixon was in the White House, now he's powerless out in California. Where Mr. Agnew once seemed destined to the White House, now he's powerless up in the East in Maryland, I think it is. And where Samson once was the most powerful man, perhaps of his day and certainly of his nation. Now look at him. His eyes are out. He gropes in darkness trying to find his way. He goes around and around and around and around grinding at the mill. And he's bound by fetters of brass. And there's something sad about that. This great man of God and this great leader of men. Watch him as they make fun. "Hey, Samson! Samson, where are you going? How far can you see? Hey, Samson, here's a jawbone of an ass. Why don't you take it and kill 1,000 of us again? Hey, Samson, here's a fox. Let this fox, won't you set his tail on fire? Let him destroy our fields again. Ah, there's the guy that caused us more havoc." They laughed and made fun of him and made a fool of him. There's old Samson, the great leader of his people. Can you see him? Round and round he goes. Perspiration, the beads come out on his brow. He wipes the perspiration off. Notice his head has been shaved now. He has no hair. His head has been shaved, and no doubt perspiration comes on his head. And Samson reaches up to wipe the perspiration off his head. And suddenly, a shock. His hair is growing again. The hair of his head began to grow again. Can you imagine how Samson must have felt? I can imagine how he must have felt. As he felt, and he feels maybe a little fuzz. Ah, blessed be God. When I got this truth in my study this week, I jumped up and said, "Hallelujah! The devil can get our beauty, but he can't get the roots, brother, if you've been born again." I mean, the devil can make us think, he can shave our heads, but he can't get the roots of our hair. Why? Because all that the Philistines could get was his beauty. But there was still the roots there and the potential for the hair growing back. And Samson feels his hair. And I think maybe as he does, I think Samson says, "I think I feel stronger." And maybe the burden of that wheel became a little less. As Samson pushes, grinds, groping his way, can't see a thing, eyes have been gouged out. But I think Samson says, "You know, I think I feel it coming back again. I think I feel it again. Maybe I'm getting stronger. It seems the load is a little lighter. The burden is easier to bear. It seems my..." And can you feature him as day after day he would go around and around, blinded and grinding at the mill, feeling up to see if his hair has grown, getting a little stronger and a little stronger and a little stronger all the time. Strength is gone, but it can return. Samson is weak now, but he will fight again. Peter is cursing now, but he will preach again. Job is proud now, but he will be revived again. Jonah is running now, but he will preach again. John Mark is turning back now, but he will write again. Jacob is cheating now, but he will be forgiven again. Thomas is doubting now, but he will go to India and preach again. David is down now, but he will become the greatest king that Israel ever saw. James and John are seeking the best seats in the kingdom now, but they will someday write books in the Bible. Abraham is lying now, but he will become the friend of God. Thank God! Thank God! Thank God! God can use you again, even if you've lost your power once. Samson begins to feel his head. The hair is getting longer. As they make sport of Samson, Samson knows something they don't know. He knows his muscles are beginning to flex again. He knows the load is getting lighter. The burden is getting easier to bear. I'm talking to someone this morning whose hair has been cut, whose power has been gone. I'm talking to somebody who once taught a Sunday school class. You once stood before boys and girls or men and women or young people with an open Bible. You once, with a heart of compassion and love, tried to direct them toward God in good and right and taught the blessed Word of God to them. Something happened to you. Delilah cut your locks. Delilah shaved your head. Some Delilah got you and led you into sin. No longer do you teach a Sunday school class. Why don't you stop and feel this morning and see if the fuzz is beginning to grow again? Why don't you maybe see if this morning there's a little hair growing again? Maybe God could use you again. Maybe you could teach a Sunday school class again. I'm talking to someone this morning who had a bus route. There was a day when you got up on Sunday morning before sunup. There was a day when you found your way out to the bus barn early in the morning. Took a pick or something and chopped the ice off the windshield of the bus. Turned the heater on and shivered as you drove to get some little boys and girls and young people to bring them to God's house. There was a day, but you got your feelings hurt. Somebody said something you didn't like. Or you drifted away from God into sin. You lost your power. Some Delilah trimmed your hair or shaved your head or cut your locks. Don't despair. It'll grow again if you'll let it. There can be a day again when you can have the same joy and the same thrill. Blessed be God. Rise up and fight again. There's power left if you'll let your hair grow. I'm talking to some soul winner here. There was a day when down the aisles at 523 Sibley Street, you brought people regularly out knocking on doors and winning folks to Christ and telling folks the story of God. And you brought them down the aisle and you used to be a soul winner. Something happened. Delilah trimmed your locks or cut your hair, shaved your head. God could use you again if you'd let your hair grow back. Check your hair. See if the hair of your head begin to grow again. I know many a preacher. I'm thinking now of a preacher. God bless him. He was a used man of God. He loved God. He was sincere. One of the finest young preachers I knew. But he got his eyes on money and a few other things. And before long, he was out of the ministry and he was trying to make a lot of money. And I talked to him one day and he said, "Brother Hiles, I'm not happy." He said, "God made this tongue to preach. And God made this mouth to preach. And God made this body to be a preacher's body." I prayed for him. I saw him not long ago. His hair is not long yet, but I think I saw some fuzz. He doesn't have the size church he once had, but he has a church. And he's preaching. And he's seeing people saved. Samson is blinded. He'll never get his eyesight back, but he can get his hair back. His eyes won't grow back in, but his hair will grow back out. Samson can get the power again that he once had and that he once enjoyed. Let me ask you a question this morning. Listen to me now. You don't enjoy God like you used to. But do you feel like you begin to enjoy him a little more than you did for a while? Are the memories of yesterday's blessings at least fond as you think about them and relive them? When you think about the old bus route, is there a little bit of a heartbeat and delight when you think about it? When you think about the Sunday school class you used to teach, do you think fondly about it? Does the thought of the church on Sunday night sound better than it sounded in a long time? Does coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night sound better than it sounded in a long, long time? I tell you what's happening to you. Your hair's beginning to grow again. You're going to get your power back if you don't watch it. You're going to come back to church on Sunday night when the offering plates are passed this morning and you didn't give your week's salary. Was there a desire to? Did you feel a conscience? Did you feel a guilt? Was there something that pricked you like an arrow and said you ought to do? And was there something that said you would have in days gone by? You've known days when you would have given it all. Was there something that said, "I wish I knew it again"? Am I talking to someone this morning who says, "Brother Hiles, I want to feel like I used to feel. I want to give like I used to give. I want to love like I used to love. I want to live like I used to live. I want to serve like I used to serve. I want to go for God like I used to go for God. I don't seem to find it." Is there some desire? Your hair's beginning to grow again. A lot of you folks this morning in this room, you have enough hair to make toupees for the entire deacon board. And that'd be a lot of toupees. Some of them don't need it. Some of them already have toupees. I thank God every day that I'm not losing my hair. I don't have to wear a toupee. Bill Harvey says he puts his hair in the oven every night so he can keep his wigwam. And I asked him the other day, I said, "Bill," I said, "this hair is not much, but it's all mine." And he said, "This hair will be all mine after 6 more payments, too." A lot of you this morning sitting out there with plenty of a good head of hair, but you're bald-headed spiritually. Like Samson, you once had the power of God, you've lost it. Like Samson, you once had the blessing of God, but you've lost it. Like Samson, you once were anointed of God, but you've lost it. Like Samson, the Spirit of God one time came upon you, but you've lost it. Do you feel a desire? God can use you again. Use Jonah the second time. God can use Peter the second time. Wells may be stopped a while, but the living water will soon break out. The tree may lose every leaf now, but when spring smiles again, it begins to bud. God can use you again. Did you serve God and quit? God can use you again. Were you blessed of God and now you're not? God can use you again. Get the picture. Get the picture. Samson's going round and around. He can't see, but I think he's laughing. It's coming back. It's coming back. And I feel stronger. I remember when I had long hair and the power of God was on me. I recall when I had the power of God. And I remember when I took that jawbone of the ass and killed 1,000 Philistines. And I recall when I took those 300 foxes. Listen, it's no small feat to tie a couple of foxes' tails together. Just get a couple of foxes sometimes. I've tried it. When I was a kid, 13 years old, lived at 1531 Exeter Street, I went to Sunday school one day, and I heard about this story about Samson tying the foxes' tails together, and I went hunting the next week and got me a couple of foxes. And, brother, you can't tie foxes' tails together real easily. My mother probably still recalls. I put them on the top of a little woodshed we had in the backyard, and it got real hot. No, you could smell those things all the way to Russia. But it's not easy. And Samson remembers, I can recall a day when I tied the tails of those foxes together and how they spread across the grain fields and caused a famine in the country of the Philistines. Samson began to laugh, and he says, I think I feel it coming back again. And he goes round and around and around, and finally the time comes. They're having a party, making fun of Samson. And they're laughing. Hey, old Samson! Samson's laughing too. He says, there's something they don't know that I know. There's hair coming back up there again. And Samson says, I feel strong again! And all of a sudden the time comes. And Samson asks the lad who's attending him, serving him, he says to the lad, would you place me, please, right between the two main pillars of the temple? And the lad places Samson right between the two main pillars of the temple, and folks are laughing, and Samson prays and says, oh God, do it one more time. Oh God, do it one more time. Give me one more great victory. And Samson, with a sudden burst of strength that they did not know he possessed, raised up his arms and shoulders, and the pillars were pulled aside, and the whole roof came down. And all the 3,000 people on the roof were killed, and all the Philistines there were killed. Samson died with them, but bless God, he died in a blaze of glory, winning one last victory for his God. And the next scene, Samson is looking at Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was in heaven before the New Testament. He's looking at Jesus. And he says, Jesus, I won another one, didn't I? And he met God with his power back. Met God on the top side instead of the bottom side. He met God with victory and not defeat. He met God with a smile and not a frown. He met God with pleasure and not fear. He met God going up instead of down. He met God happy instead of sad. Samson says, Jesus, I had one last victory. I lost it, but I got it back. You've heard me tell, most of you, time and time again, of that Sunday morning here at First Baptist, we didn't have anybody saved. We've never had a Sunday without somebody saved in the 15 years I pastored this church. But one Sunday morning, we had nobody saved. One man, before we built the auditorium we just had, back in the old auditorium we had when I came here, one man came by transfer of membership and nobody got saved. And I recall how that day I went home, went up to an upstairs room and threw myself face down on the floor. And I said, oh God, is it gone? Is it gone? That breath of heaven that settled on me when I was on my face over my dad's grave, do I still have it? Do I still have it? Oh, Spirit of God, that spirit that settled like a heavenly dove on this little poor boy's ministry, this stammering tongue became anointed on my father's grave. Is it gone? Is it gone? Is it gone? And I cried and prayed. Went out soul winning. All afternoon. I couldn't wait till that night to preach again to see if it was still there. And all during the song service, I said, Lord, have I lost it? Have I lost it? Have I lost it? Like Eli of old, I'd be willing to die. I'd want to die if I lost it. I wouldn't want to preach without the power of God. Oh, that wonderful something. Pardon me, that wonderful somebody who comes to little stuttering lips like these and a stammering tongue like this and causes men and women to be convicted like some of you right now. You feel right now. God is speaking to you. That's what I'm talking about. And I said, oh, God, have I lost it? Have I lost it? Have I lost it? I told Brother Lyons, who led the singing that night, I said, hurry up, don't have a long song service. He said, why? I said, I want to get preaching right quick. I preached, and all the time I was preaching, I said, Lord, have I lost it? Do I still have it? Do I still have it? Invitation time came. I was trembling. We stood to sing the invitation that night. The old building, I guess we had 300 or 400 people there. We stood to sing. And I said, "Oh, God, if you ever saved anybody in my ministry, save somebody tonight." I looked back in the balcony and right up in the back row of the balcony, right next to the aisle of the old building, a great big tall fellow, about 6'4", skinny as a rail, buttoned his coat and pulled his coat down like that, stepped out in the aisle and took his songbook and tossed it in his wife's hand. Came toward the aisle and came down the center aisle of the balcony. And I grabbed Brother Jim Lyons around the neck. And I said, "Brother Jim, I still got it. I still got it. I still got it. I still got it, Brother Jim. I still got it." He said, "You got what? What have you still got?" He didn't understand, but I did. And oh, listen to me this morning. God has something He wants you to do. If you've lost it for a season, feel your head this morning. The hair may be growing again. Don't you remember? Can't you imagine the joy of Samson's soul and the thrill of his heart as he reached up and felt the hair growing again and felt the strength coming back again? God wants to use you. God wants to use you again. But you say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." God will use you again. But you say, "Preacher, you don't know how far I've gone." God will use you again. But you say, "Preacher, you don't know how long it's been." God will use you again. As he used Samson, some young person, some high schooler, some high school one person. You've done something awful bad. You're about to get kicked out of school. Maybe you already have been kicked out of school. You're not as happy as you used to be. You used to love to go soul winning. Now you don't care much about it. Or you go through the motions or don't go at all. Been criticizing Hammond Baptist High School. Don't like the rules. Don't like the rules. Don't like the rules. The devil doesn't like the rules, Hammond Baptist High School either. Maybe you've lost that thrill, the joy, the excitement. You can have it again. Your hair can grow again. You people that, listen, listen. One of the sad things about the bus ministry of this church is the fact that there are dozens of people who built this church's bus ministry who think that God chooses bus workers on 4-year terms. You built it. My Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And you have no right to quit. So I just don't feel the same. Well, do it whether you feel the same or don't feel the same. I don't always feel the same when I preach either, but I'm going to preach till I die or somebody shoots me. Why? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Get back, get back, get back in it. You have no right to quit. No right to turn back. None at all. Think with me for a minute. Think of Peter. The best Christian on the face of the earth. The man who's always listed first in any list of the apostles. The man who preached on Pentecost, see it, cursing, swearing, denying the Lord, denying the church, denying the faith. See him when he got back again, got his hair back and preached on Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. Look at John Mark, who got afraid on the first missionary journey and turned back at Pamphylia, afraid to continue, went back home to mama. He's down, but he got up again. See him as he writes the second book in the New Testament and accompanies Paul later in prison. See him. See Jonah. That backslidden preacher called of God to go to Nineveh went down and got on a boat and caused a storm and was cast off the boat and swallowed by a whale. See him 3 days and 3 nights inside the whale's belly. See him as he's vomited out on the shore and see him as he runs to Nineveh and has the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Listen, this world has been blessed of people who once were on the shelf, who've risen to serve again and risen to fight again. This world has been changed and the destiny of nations have been transformed and determined by people who were down but got up. Get up. Get up. Your hair may be growing